throughout the week, I really struggled about what to preach on and what would be an appropriate message. And I was even struggling with this last night. And I was one of those guys that, especially in college and high school, that I'd wait till the last minute to study. Now, I don't normally do that with the Word of God, but I couldn't get quite anything in my head, and so I kept putting it off and kept putting it off. So the Lord sent me something about 12:30 last night. And if you preachers know, when something like that comes to you, as a pastor, my first thought is, well, maybe this is what he wants me to preach on Sunday morning. So I need to ignore that and keep looking for something else. But I don't have anything else. So I'm just going to have to preach to you what he laid on my heart and what I sat there in the wee hours of the night and studied. And I believe that it's very appropriate. I want to talk to you about light, love, and live. And this is in 1 John, the apostle of love. Light, love, and live. And I want to be very clear up front that I'm not talking about people becoming children of God. Amen. John was not writing to people that were becoming children of God. He was writing to God's children. Amen. And I believe as I'm sitting here speaking to you today, I'm speaking to God's children.
Amen.
And so this is a message that has to do with light for the child of God who's born again. It has to do with love for the child of God who's born again. And it has to do with how we live for children of God who are already born again. And I'm going to be picking and choosing some verses in here because this entire book is a book of love.
Amen.
And I hope by what I'm going to share here with you, it'll kind of shock you a little bit about just how much in this book involves light and love and live and how they go together. So we read to begin with in 1 John, the first chapter and the fifth verse. This is little John over in the back. 1 John, the first chapter. And I'm leaving out so much, it's very difficult, but I want to be very mindful of the time and of your patience. So let's read in 1 John 1 and 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, that's Jesus, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Amen. If we say that we have fellowship with Christ, with Him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another.
Right.
Wow. The definition of the word light is the Greek word phos or phos, which where we get our word for phosphorus or luminous. It means to shine. And this is a name of Jesus. In John, the first chapter, the Gospel of John, the first chapter, in verse 4, this is the best definition of light that I can give you because this is the real light. John, the Gospel of John, in chapter 1, verse 4, it says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men.
Right.
And if you read on there, it tells you, with a capital L, that He is light. So the best definition that you can get of light is Christ.
Amen.
Before there was anything created, before God said, let there be light, He was light.
Amen.
Now, I don't want that to be an untouchable thing, because the more you dig into an understanding of Jesus Christ, the more it enlightens your own understanding.
Right.
Because He's light. See? If you're living in darkness, or you're living in the opposite of what's being talked about and taught here, you know, you've got light, and you've got love, and you've got living your life. Okay, well, what's the opposite of that? The opposite of that is darkness and hatred and death.
Yeah.
You see? So think about your life and as a church body, as individuals, whatever church you may be a part of, wherever you come from, what are you living in?
Yeah.
Are you living in the light? Are you living in that which leads to love, which is light? And then that just causes you to live abundantly.
Right.
But the opposite of that is living in darkness,
amen,
which leads to hatred,
right,
which leads to death. And that's not just talking about a physical death. We can live in death in this life.
Right. Yeah.
Matter of fact, Solomon himself said there are some things worse than death.
Amen.
So first is light. And the best definition of light that I can give you is Christ. In Him was life, and the life of Christ was the light of men. You see how that ties together with light and love and life and live? He's the light. You're going to see that He is, capital L, love. And He is also life. And He far exceeds, and He goes before. He's preeminent, even before the creation. We see light in this room. You know, we understand our hearts are beating, and we have life. And hopefully, I pray to God that you understand this type of love that's under consideration here, which is laying down your life for others.
Right.
You know, we see that and we feel that, and that's a tangible way that we can experience He who is light, and He who is love, and He who does live eternally so that we live.
Right.
Everything ties back to Christ. And there's no way that I can convey that to you. Because I wasn't there with Him in His presence, but John was.
Right. Yeah.
The apostle of love laid his head on the shoulder of the Son of God.
Oh, wow.
And he experienced it firsthand.
Mm-hmm.
Now you might say in one sense, you know, we experience it secondhand because He's not physically here. But I don't think it's just a secondhand experience.
Yeah, right.
In the Spirit of God, walking in the light, walking in love, and living that way, it's not a secondhand experience.
Amen. Right.
It's an abundant, as a matter of fact, John described it in 1 John. He said it's an abundance of joy. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another.
Yeah.
Christ is the best definition that I can give you of light.
Amen.
And if we say we are in and with the light, but we walk in darkness, then we're liars.
Right.
So have you looked in the mirror lately about this issue of light? Am I walking in the light?
Mm-hmm.
It's what I do. It's what I say. In public, behind the scenes, it's what I'm doing. Is it appropriate? Is it godly? Is it righteous?
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not, then we may find ourselves to be liars.
Right.
Lying to ourselves is usually the worst thing that you can do.
Right.
When you start lying to yourself, eventually you're going to lie to others.
Right.
Yeah. Now turn to chapter 2, and I want you to see about love. How light, Christ is the light, it leads us to love. You see something, you move towards it, right? Or move away from it, depending on what it is. But when you see the light, and Christ is the light, the only direction that that light is going to point for you and direct you in is to love.
Right.
It's not going to point you anywhere else. It's not going to point you to hatred, that's for sure.
Amen.
1 John 2 and 9. Let's read. He that saith he is in the light, notice the connection, and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. This is very practical. This is very logical.
Amen.
He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Notice, what's under consideration here is loving your brother, your sister.
Right. Yeah.
The light of Christ, the body of Christ, Christ Himself will only ever lead you to love your brother or your sister.
Right. That's right.
It will not lead you to talk about them behind their back.
Amen.
Or innuendo things with people. It will not lead you to lie about them. It will not lead you away from them. But if you're moving in the direction of the light, it will lead you to love your brothers
Amen.
And sisters.
Amen.
And I tell you, we need that this day and time. Amen. I don't know if you've noticed lately, but there's not a whole lot of love in the world.
Sure.
There's not a whole lot of care for one another. If you turn on the news or if you look at what's going on around you, I mean, there's just not a lot of love. Nobody's, especially, you might even say, mark it back to 2020. Everybody just kind of got distant and pulled apart, and people got on at odds even more than they were before, and people just don't care anymore. And I hope I'm accepting you from that. I hope I'm accepting me from that. We need to care. We need to move towards the light. We don't need to move away from the light. We need to move towards the light, and that will draw us to love one another. That's so essential in our churches.
Amen.
How would you like to have a pastor that doesn't understand and experience this? That's moving in a direction of darkness. That's moving in a direction of hatred. That's moving in the direction of death. You know, that's a terrible, terrible situation. We want to be moving in the direction of light. And it will take us to love one another. Now here's the definition of love. This is that word. You know, there's several different types of love found in the New Testament. This is the most important one.
Yeah.
This is the agape love, 1 Corinthians 13 love. This word occurs over and over. This is more than just a feeling.
Right.
Now, it certainly encompasses a feeling, but this love will help you get through feelings that are leading you away from the light.
Right.
See?
Yeah, that's right, bro. That's right.
Now, this love also can encompass all of the other types that are mentioned, and I won't go into those. But it can encompass all of those other types of love that are mentioned and draw it into them like a magnet.
Right, right.
Okay, but if you set them alone by themselves out there, those other types of love, you know, a physical affection, an eros, as it's called in the Greek, or other types of love that are out there, just a filial love, like where you just are fond of someone. You know, agape can draw all of that into itself if you let it. How? If you're drawing towards the light.
Amen.
He says, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness.
Mm-hmm.
He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. Now look, I did a little, I'm not a math guy. The folks from Bethlehem know this. I say this all the time, but I got a calculator, and I also have a search engine. And so I was noticing how often love was occurring in 1 John. And so I looked it up, and it occurs 49 times in those little five chapters. And it occurs 30 times in chapter 4, which we're going to get to in a minute. There's only 21 verses in chapter 4. That's a lot of love, isn't it?
Amen.
So if you want to think about the light leading us to the crescendo or the pinnacle, which is love, see? And that helps us abide in the life. The light leads to love, and it brings us to life.
Amen.
Abundant life, not darkness.
Right.
He that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. As I said before, the opposite is true of this. Darkness leads to hatred, and hatred leads to death. And I don't know if you've looked lately, but it's just darkness in the world.
Yeah.
And it's only getting darker. Push back against the darkness. How do we do that? How do we look at that and see all of this stuff that's so overwhelming? And what kind of difference can I make? Little old me. I'm not important. I can't make an impact. I can't have any kind of bearing on what's going on in the world. Yes, you can.
Amen.
By being a point of light, drawing to the light, and living in the agape love that's here,
that's
described. That brings abundant life. That brings salvation to a church, to a family, to friendships, to fellowships. And it's all tied up in the capital L, light, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You don't want to live in darkness. There's enough darkness out there. One of my dearest friends in the world, Brother David Crawford, often says, you know, to push back against the darkness. Because if you stand there and you look at that darkness long enough, it's just going to overwhelm you.
Right.
You ever gone out? Maybe some of you went out a few nights ago when the northern lights were showing out, when God's northern lights were showing out.
Right.
And, you know, it took a minute to get the eyes adjusted and to be able to see what was going on. But, man, whenever when I was able to see past the dark, I saw this incredible light show that at one point looked like it was just a cauldron of fire pouring out of the sky.
Yeah.
And all of us were out there that were at home at that time. And Elizabeth and Lila and even Tracy, and they were saying, you know, the girl said, "You reckon it's the Lord coming back?" And I was like, "I hope so."
Amen.
But we may be seeing a little touch of what it looked like when Elijah rode to heaven on a chariot of fire. I'm not saying it was the northern lights. It was the chariots of fire that came to get him. But just an amazing spectacle in the sky. I'm not out there to see the darkness.
Amen.
I'm out there to get my eyes adjusted so that I can see the light that's going on out there.
Amen.
There's enough darkness that will overwhelm you. There's enough darkness that will take you down. But if you'll just let your eyes adjust through the darkness and look for those points of light, the greatest light that you can see is reflected in the Word of God, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Other beautiful lights are God's people that are shining as lights. The church of God, the Word of God is a light. But the ultimate light, capital L, is Jesus. You see, it's not just about theology. It's not just about a doctrine. You know, we need to have doctrine, that's for sure.
Right.
But it's about a man.
Yes.
You understand that? It's about a man. Getting to know a man, and his name is Jesus Christ. And you could spend lifetimes. If you had 10 lifetimes, you could continue to get to know him and never know him like you think you do.
Right.
I was sitting there thinking this morning about how this song service was ministering to me and how it was just speaking to my heart. And I could feel the Spirit of God just causing us to worship God. You know, and there's some of those songs there that I haven't heard in a long time. And there's places I've been, you know, where I would hear one of those songs, like "Let This Feeble Body Fail." We sing Hallelujah. And there were times when just tears would overflow with me. And I would think, you know, what's wrong with me? Because at other times I hear that and it doesn't happen.
Yeah, right.
You know, what's wrong with me? Well, you know, one of the things that's going on there is the Lord does not guarantee you that he's just going to show up every time.
Right.
You know, we think, well, he's in my box, so I can take him out and play with him whenever I want to. He's the genie that's in my lamp, and I can rub the lamp and get my wishes. But that's not how the Lord works.
Right.
He's not a tame lion, as C.S. Lewis said. He can show up here, he can show up there, and he shows up in the strangest of places, doesn't he? I've been going to places before, and I'm not talking about church meetings, and I would think I'd be going to court, or I'd be going to see someone who was devastated. You know, and the next thing you know, the untamed center of the universe, Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, shows up, and the next thing you know, we feel him in our heart.
Yes.
So I wonder sometimes why I'm not experiencing what I usually experience with this song that usually ministers to me. Could be because I need to confess some sin and get my mind off the things of the world.
Right.
But it also could be because the Lord's not a tame lion.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
He will not fit in your or my box.
Right.
But he's always light.
Now, 1 John 3:11, talking about the light, talking about the love of God. This is agape love. Everywhere it occurs in the book of 1 John, from saying the word beloved to loveth to love, it's agape love. 1 John 3:11, listen to what he says. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. That's agape love. That's not a feeling. It can be a feeling, but it pushes past your feelings.
Amen.
Well, you don't feel like you want to do this. I tell you, this agape love, this doctrine, this truth is so important for friendships, yes, and for churches, yes, but especially for marriages.
Amen.
You know, if someone's looking to be married one day, this is the type of laying down your life, your schedule, you know, your routine, your thoughts. This is the type of thing that someone looking for a spouse should be looking for. This is a benchmark for a marriage. This type of agape love, that one would lay down their life, that would lay down whatever they've got in order to sacrifice for that person. It's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest spouse that has ever existed, that's what he did.
Amen.
For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain. Don't you love how he throws stuff in there like that? And I just don't have any patience for people that say, well, I just can't get anything out of the Word of God. The reason a lot of times people can't get anything out of the Word of God is because they don't study the Word of God.
Yeah, that's right.
The Word of God was meant to be studied. It can be read. A lot of stuff in the Word of God reads like a novel. You know, like the Old Testament accounts of the kings and all of those things and the prophets. It can be read like a novel, but it primarily was meant to be studied.
Amen.
And you're not ever going to get anything out of the Word of God until you open up the Word of God.
Right.
And approach the Word of God in a way of saying, Lord, teach me, show me, shed light upon me.
Amen.
Right.
He says, not as Cain. You can't love your brother and be like Cain, who was of that wicked one, the devil, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. You know, there's a verse that I go back to often in the Old Testament. I think it's in the book of Ezekiel. But it talks about the great speckled bird. There was a great old song that Brother Chris and I still like to sing from time to time. And my daddy and mom loved to hear us sing that song. It's an old Roy Acuff song. No, and the younger folks are going, Roy who? Shame on you parents, you hadn't shared that with them. So there's an old song called The Great Speckled Bird, and it's from the Word of God. And it talks about how the great speckled bird, because it is so beautiful, it's so righteous, the other birds just can't stand it. And they come and they just peck it to death. They just ruffle its feathers and just continue to chase it. Y'all ever seen one of these birds that the little bird is chasing around? I've watched them for years. And you'll see this little bitty bully. And he's chasing this big bird around. I'm thinking, what's wrong with that bird? Just turn around and just whack him, you know, and he'll leave you alone. You know, that's the way it is with the great speckled bird. That's the way it is with righteousness. That's the way it was with Abel.
Right.
Abel was righteous. He didn't put anything in the face of Cain. He didn't say, ha ha, look at me, the Lord likes me. He didn't do that. He just did what God had called him to do. And because he did what God had called him to do, Cain hated him.
Right.
And a lot of times, whenever we're caught up in our sin, and we look and we see somebody else being righteous and kind and loving and godly, it's our natural tendency, to a lot of times to go and peck at that. You know, because I'm not righteous, I'm going to go peck at somebody who is.
Right.
That's what Cain did. Why do you think he throws this in there? Don't tell me there's not a lot to study in the Word of God. If you're reading in 1 John and you come across Cain, you say, I can't get anything out of it. Go study about Cain and Abel.
Right, yeah.
It takes you all the way back to the first of the dawn of time.
Yeah.
And Cain killed his brother. Just because his brother was a good guy, was a godly person. God had born again Abel. He had not born again Cain.
Right.
And you can't love one another and carry on like Cain did. He killed his brother. Now, you say, well, I'd never kill anybody. I'd never take up a gun or a knife. It's not just talking about that.
Right.
You can kill your brother verbally. You can kill your brother in other ways. You can cold shoulder them. You cannot speak to them. You can act ugly towards them. You can leave them out. You can do all types of things and kill your brother.
Right.
And I'm telling you, when we're dealing with God's little children, we better be very careful about that.
Amen.
God's children are little great speckled birds.
Right.
The blood of Christ has speckled their heart and been shed upon them. And as children of God, we should be very careful how we interact with God's children. Very cautious. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore he slew him? because his own works were evil and his brothers were righteous. Marvel not, brethren, if the world hate you. You see the contrast? Love, hate, light, darkness. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. You want to have assurance of your salvation. Yeah. You want to feel the presence of God. You want to feel lifted up before the Lord and understand that you're one of His. Love the brethren.
Amen.
It's not about a confession. We need to confess. It's not about being baptized. We need to be baptized. Yeah. But if you want assurance and hope and direction and your eyes raised up to the heavens, it's in loving your brother.
Amen. Right. Amen.
What about Matthew, the 25th chapter? How can it be any more plain that on the day, the last day, whenever the Lord calls the sheep and the goats before Him and the great resurrection occurs, you know, He's not going to talk about what great old Baptists y'all were and how y'all stood by the doctrine. Now, we better stand by the doctrine. We better stand for the truth in this life and enjoy the abundant life. But the Lord's not going to talk to you about that then. Are you disappointed? When I first understood that, I was a little disappointed. Because there's a couple folks that I really wanted to see in heaven and say, ha-ha, I told you so. I told you when you kicked me out of that Bible study when I was in 10th grade that I was right. That's how we roll. That's how we think in our nature. But when we get to heaven, you're not going to have to tell anybody that they're right because they're going to be all right in the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Everybody's going to be an old Baptist in heaven.
That's right.
But let me say this. They're going to be something greater than an old Baptist.
Amen.
I want to be resurrected in the image of Jesus Christ and have the exact mind of Christ, and we can fellowship and never have to say, I told you so. We won't be thinking about I told you so because we'll be so awed by the presence of the L-I-G-H-T, the light, the L-O-V-E, the love. And we'll have eternal life in Him.
Amen.
I'm sorry if I'm being a little loud here, but I'm excited. It's great to be here. It's great to worship. It's great to think about the light and the love and to think about the life that we have in the Lord. I'm ready to go right now. How about you? Wouldn't it be great for the Lord to come back in the middle of a meeting like this?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like you younger guys are thinking, yeah, to shut Brother Tim up. I understand that. I get it. I was young once too. But in Matthew, the 25th chapter, what's He going to talk to us about? He's going to look upon the goats and He's going to say, go off into everlasting punishment. You know why? Because you never loved me. He's going to look at the sheep and He's going to say, I was hungry and you fed me.
Amen.
Yeah. I was naked and you clothed me.
Right.
I was thirsty and you gave me drink. That's not just physical, brothers and sisters.
Right.
That's spiritual.
Amen.
You gave me drink. And the sheep, you will be so awed and so overwhelmed as you behold the light standing before you and saying such things. That you'll look at Him. You will look at Him and you will say, when could we ever have done this for the great light of heaven? He's going to say those blessed words that, praise God, you already know.
Yeah.
When you did this to the least of my children,
amen.
You did it to me.
Amen.
I'm telling you, if you're living in that and you're doing that, you're living in the light.
Amen.
You're living in the love. You're living the abundant life. Not as Cain, who slew his brother because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. Marvel not that the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. My goodness, this is strong language.
Yeah.
Oh, I never murdered someone, Brother Tim. We've all murdered someone. We've all crucified their character. We've all said things we shouldn't say. We've all thought things we shouldn't think. And we've done things we shouldn't do. We're all at heart in our nature murderers to put to death our brother. And if we're living in that, we're living in darkness.
Right. Yeah.
Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God. You want to perceive the love of God? I perceive the love of God in the doctrine of God as I read the things about God and His character. I perceive God's love in that. I perceive God's love in the singing of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. The Spirit of God speaks to me. I perceive God's love when a minister of the gospel gets up and is blessed to preach the Word of God and my heart is lifted up. I perceive that He loves me. But here He's talking about perceiving the love of God by how we interact with one another.
Right.
So wait a minute. That's just a whole other level, Brother Tim. I don't know if we need to go there or not. That takes a lot of work. Amen.
That's right.
It takes a lot of you putting down what you think and what you've got going on.
Yeah.
And it takes you putting down things that get in your way.
Yeah. Yeah.
But oh, how it's worth it.
Amen.
You want to perceive the love of God. because he laid down his life for us. And here it is. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. If he laid his down his life for us, the greatest example of sacrifice that's ever existed, then we ought to lay down our lives for one another. And by the way, that's not even the penultimate. That's not even the crescendo. In chapter 4 is whenever he says love like 30 times.
Right.
Continue into chapter 4. Verse 7. I'm having to leave out so much, but we must do that. 1 John 4 and 7. Beloved, let us love one another. Beloved, by the way, is a derivative of agape.
Yes.
So he's saying, those of you that are agape, let us agape one another. Let us love one another. For agape, love, is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. How practical is that?
Yeah.
And then he says, for God is love.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of folks out in the religious world will kind of abuse that and just say, well, that means we sweep all sins under the rug. And, you know, we just got to be big hearted and just let things go. That's not what agape is teaching.
Yeah,
if you see the light, capital L, and you see what Christ did on the cross, if you see how he died for not sweeping things under the rug, for not being so big hearted that he just let stuff go, he didn't sweep it under the rug. He didn't paint over it. He took it upon himself and paid for it. And that's the attitude that we ought to have when it comes to love.
Amen.
We love the Lord like he loves us in a way that we will not be satisfied to tolerate the sin in our own lives and the sin that comes along to affect us or things that are trying to be crammed down our throats in the world.
Right.
You must accept this because, you know, the Word of God says God is love. Well, that's exactly right. The Word of God does say that God is love, and God does not sweep sin under the rug. And we must not either.
Amen.
We must not either. We must love one another enough that we're willing to stand for one another.
Right.
And stand against the things that would take us away from God. God is love. So you want a definition of love, of agape. It's Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus Christ is agape, capital A. He laid his life down. He laid his throne down.
Amen.
He came down. And he went down. And he went up on the cross, sacrificed, paid for our sins, went in the grave, and came out and ascended back again. That's
right.
Agape like we cannot fathom. But we'll ponder that for eternity. For God is love. God is light. You got that? God is love. The light will only lead you to the love of God. Christ the light will only lead you to Christ the love. See? Which only leads you to the last part here, which is to live. Again, we're not talking about born people again. We're
right.
talking about children of God living, perceiving the love of God, enjoying the love of God.
Right.
Look to the light, enjoy the love of God, and live. Verse 9 of chapter 4. In this, in the laying down of the life, in the love of God, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. There's the word.
Amen.
Live. The light will only lead you to love, and the love will only lead you to live.
Mm-hmm.
Herein is love, not that we love God. Look how practical this is.
Right.
But that he loved us.
Yeah.
And sent his Son to be the propitiation or the expiation or the doing away of our sins.
Right.
Beloved, agape. Those that have been touched by agape love. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another.
Amen.
Right. Isn't that something? That's just perfect, isn't it? Light, love, and life.
Yeah.
Or would you rather have darkness, hatred, and death? God is life. You know, he says that in the book of John, the Gospel of John. He says, I am the way, I am what? The truth,
yeah.
And I am what? I am the life. In answer to the questions about where he was about to go, he said, you want to go where I'm going? You want to be where I am? He said, I'm the only way to get there. I'm the only way. I'm the only truth about how you get there through the
right.
death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'm the only life that can go forth and survive a death like that.
Amen.
He's the way, he's the truth, and he is the life. And child of God, if you're looking to the light, living in the love of God, you're living the life of Christ.
Amen.
That he would have you to live. That's so important for Blooming Grove.
Yeah.
That's so important for Bethlehem.
Yeah.
Fill in the blank of whatever church
yeah.
it is that you're a part of. That's so important for your family.
Amen.
If you get a house full of folks that don't understand this, oh my goodness, what a disaster that is.
Amen.
That don't understand how to lay down your life, how to set aside your schedule, how to put others first. I tell you, that's a disaster. That's a disaster for any organization.
Right.
Family, church, you know, work situation. That is a club, whatever, is a disaster. Without light, love, and life.
Amen.
Right.
So Christ is the light. Christ is the love, and Christ is the life. Now I'm going to jump out of 1 John and look to 2 John. Because the theme continues in 2 John. 2 John, the only chapter. The Apostle John is writing to this dear lady who was living in the light, looking to the light, living in the love of God, and enjoying her best life in Christ. And he says in verse 5, "And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning." Very similar language from 1 John. "That we love one another." Do you hear that?
Yeah.
Blooming Grove, do you hear that?
Yeah.
Bethlehem, Zion, other churches,
yeah.
Do you hear that?
Yeah, right.
"If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed." So what, Brother Tim? I thought we were talking about how we treated each other. That's doctrine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Laying down your life one to another is the doctrine of the church.
Yeah.
It's Christ. It's the epitome of everything that we need. It's the answer to all of our questions. It's the remedy to all of our fears. It's just pressing towards the light, letting your eyes adjust to the great darkness that is around us,
right,
and pressing towards the light. He said, "Do not wish Godspeed to those that are not bringing this doctrine to you."
Right. Yeah.
The word Godspeed, or the phrase Godspeed, it's kind of hard to find the equivalent of what we would say today. Well, you know, today we just say Godspeed.
Yeah.
You know, it's the word hail, like hello. You know, I thought of the word "hey." You know, an affectionate "hey," not like "hey, you know, get away from me." But you know, it's a warming. Godspeed to you. Godspeed. And that's something that they would often say to one another when they traveled a lot by foot, you know, by donkey, by horse, by cart. They'd say, "Godspeed. You know, may God give you safe travels in your journeys. Godspeed to you." And that's something that I say to Blooming Grove. Godspeed.
Amen. Yes.
I say it to all the churches that are represented here, including the one that I pastor. Godspeed to you in the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Godspeed to you in laying down your lives one to another. Godspeed to you in pursuing the light. And Godspeed. May God bless you in the things that honor God. There was a very famous work of fiction years and years ago called Les Miserables. Very good book, very good read. And there was also a musical made that ran, I think, one of the longest ever, wherever it was running in the different places. And the character in that book, the tragic character in that book, in that play, in that musical, is Jean Valjean. And he has interaction with a young woman whose daughter he takes in as his own, and her name is Fontaine. And at the end of Valjean's life, in the musical, in the finale, one of the most beautiful songs I've ever heard. And Fontaine is singing from heaven to him as he's coming to heaven and he's about to leave. And this is what they say. And it's sort of a back and forth. But she says, "Take my hand." Excuse me. Valjean says, "Take my hand and lead me to salvation. Take my love, for love is everlasting. And remember the truth that once was spoken. To love another person is to see the face of God."
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Are you struggling in your life? I am.
Yeah.
I struggle to see the face of God. That song that Brother Joe called this morning, "Face to Face with Christ my Savior."
Amen.
We're going to see Him face to face one day. Praise God. I would see Jesus. I would see Jesus right now. And we're going to see Him face to face. But before then, child of God,
to love another person, to lay down your life for the sheep of God, for the brothers and sisters of Christ, the children of God, touched by His Spirit, to love another person, the agape love, is to see the face of God.
Amen.
I'm telling you, if each and every one of us would make that our daily endeavor, it would bring revival like you have never seen.
Right.
That's right.
You say, across the nation, Brother Tim? Maybe. But it'll bring revival to you.
Yeah.
Instead of seeing the faults and the failures and the negative and the nothings, striving to see the successes and the victories and the things. You say, well, I just can't find anything good about this person. Well, if they're a born-again child of God, you can at least find God in them that is good.
Right.
That's pretty sad if you're in that kind of shape, but that's about all that can be seen. Well, he's always got God in his heart, you know. But may we strive to see the face of God. How do we do that? We look to the light.
Yeah.
The light is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And the light is only ever going to lead you to the love of God.
Amen.
Christ is the love of God.
Right.
And it's going to lead you from light to love and into abundant, joyful life.
Amen.
Joyful life as a church. Joyful life in a family. Joyful life in your workplace. Joyful life in your community. And we need that, child of God. I beseech you, I implore you in these times when you can get sucked into the darkness to push back against that darkness in your home, in your community, in the things that you see around you. Just push towards the light of God. And rejoice in the love of God. And lay down your life for God's people. And by the way, I feel like I'm talking to children of God in this entire room here. Every single person. But out there in the community, you don't know who's a child of God sometimes. Maybe you do. You think you do. But you know, you come across somebody, you don't know what their situation is.
Right.
That's where it really begins to make a difference.
Amen.
When you're willing to do that, not just to people that you really know and you're affectionate towards. And I really want to show love to this person. But Jesus said, when we do that with those that we may not necessarily like, you know, that may present themselves as our enemy, you know, he says, that's when you have a glorious reward in that moment. That's when you see the face of God.
Amen.
May the Lord bless you is my prayer.
Amen.